おはようございます。日本語をしゃべる方がいますか？ここで we've been supported by you since 2019. Last time when we were here, the church was not like this. It looked very dated. But I'm very surprised now everything has been renovated. And I heard that you have more renovation plans planned. So anyway, since you don't really remember us, but you have been continue supporting us, I'll remind you who we are. I'm Reverend Henry, and my wife, Reverend Wendy. We have two boys. In 2016, we were sent by Alliance to Japan, to Tokyo. And there, we studied Japanese. We were hoping to find jobs after we graduate from language school and to get into Japanese companies and try to share the love of Jesus with them. When we had gone through the interviews, the companies want us to change our visa from religious visa to a work visa. And that's when the mission put a stop, say, no, we don't want you to change to a work visa. We want you to continue to be missionaries. So anyway, after language school, the last year we were in Japan, we helped out with a lot of Alliance churches. And I remember one time, I had to preach three times in Japanese within the span of 5 weeks. So it was very hectic. Anyway, we came back in 2019, and then you guys all know what happened in 2019 and 2020. When we were ready to go back to Japan to continue our second term, COVID hit. And both Wendy and I, we are dual citizens of Canada and Taiwan. So we asked the mission to send us to Taiwan. And eventually they agreed. So for the past 4 years, we have been in Taiwan. Anyone speaks Taiwanese here? No? You speak Taiwanese? No. Anyway, so we've been working in Taiwan, in a rural part of Taiwan. And the picture you see here, was taken at a pineapple field. You guys all have eaten pineapples before, right? Did you know pineapples grow on the ground? Did you know that? Before I went, I thought pineapples grow on the trees. But actually, pineapples grow on the ground. And the place we were, it's called Mingxiong. It's actually one of the famous place for pineapples. So anyway, so last 4 years, we were in Taiwan. Minister to Mainland people using as much Taiwanese as possible. We just came back last July, and but we don't know where we'll be next. We told mission that we're not going back to Taiwan because Taiwan was a COVID type of arrangement. And then mission said, we have no plan to send you back to Japan. So we are in this limbo. We don't know where we'll be next. Could be here in Canada because kids are making transition back to Canada, and they're having a whole bunch of problems, you know, changing their mindset from high school kids to university students, and also adjusting back from Asia. Why don't we start with the prayer? Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning. We know that your love has binded us so that we can call your people a community of believers. Father, I pray that your spirit will be moving in everyone's hearts this morning. Let them hear the voice of only from you, not from your servant. Father, I pray that your grace will be upon these people. Let them see your face. Let them see your faithfulness. Let them see your love. I pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So after giving you some of our background story, I don't know how many of you have said goodbyes to your loved ones before. You have, okay. I was hoping the young people would say, yeah, I have said goodbye to my girlfriend, to boyfriends before. But the mom here has already said that she had said goodbye to your kids. So if you have said goodbye to your kids, you will know what kind of emotions that will bring to you. In 2022, we were thinking, okay, if mission doesn't send us back to Japan, we were going to say bye-bye to mission. So the whole family thought we would come back as a whole in 2022, back to Canada, when my older son Timothy graduated from high school. But later on, we found out that we had actually made this agreement with Alliance and agreed to serve in Taiwan for 4 years. So ended up, Timothy had to come back all by himself. I don't know what you felt, okay, when you say goodbye to your kids. I remember 2022 when I said goodbye to my son. As I look at his back as he walked back to the security area all by himself. I can still feel today that a part of me got ripped out. A part of my heart got ripped out. Seeing this high school kid coming back to Canada all by himself while we stay in Taiwan to continue our mission work. It was hard. It was a hard experience. What does this have to do with today's scripture? If you have read Deuteronomy, I don't believe many of you have gone through the book of Deuteronomy. Can I see hands? Have you gone through? Okay. So what does book of Deuteronomy talks about? From chapter 1 to chapter 3, it talks about the history of God, leading the people through wilderness. And if you know your number, the book of Numbers, you all know what happened in the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness? What happened in the wilderness? There were a lot of things happening in the wilderness. And every time you read Moses and Aaron fell on the ground with their face close to the ground, you know the Israelites have done something bad. And God was about to punish them. So you understand the heart of the leaders, in this case, Aaron and Moses. But Moses God did not give him the permission to go into the land, the promised land. As he was going to get ready, prepare these new generation of leaders going to the promised land, while he cannot go back, go into the land with them, he reminded them a faithful God, what God has done for them throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. I know many of you have done camping before, right? Like every summer you go out to do a camping trip. I asked my sons, if I give you a tent and then 5 days of supply of food, how long do you think you can survive in Algonquin? He told me maybe 2 weeks. Okay. Maybe 2 weeks. This group of people survived in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. If it's not by God's grace and mercy, it would not happen. So Moses used this time, this opportunity, the opportunity to remind them, our God is a faithful God. Our God is so faithful that despite all the suffering that he had experienced with his own people, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. How do I know that? If you go back to Exodus, you know, Exodus 2, what happened in the land of Egypt? Like in wilderness, Moses and Aaron, they were threatened by their own very people. In Numbers, they were threatened to kill these Aaron and Moses. They want to go back to Egypt whenever they face hardship, right? But if you remember Exodus 2, who initiated this whole narrative? The Israelites. In Exodus 2, I'll read it to, for you. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. So that's after Jacob. The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor, and they cried out. And their cry for help ascended to God because of the difficult labor. 24. So God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the Israelites, and he took notice. He remembers. He took notice. Friends, I don't know what happened with this church, but as I was praying for this church, preparing for today's sermon, as I was driving to the church this morning, my heart felt heavy. I don't know why. My heart just felt really heavy. Maybe a lot of things had happened since the last time we were here. A lot of changes had taken place. I don't know. But our God knows. Our God remembers. And he's taking notice. Why do I know that? Why do I know that? Because I know our God is a faithful God. When we first went to Japan, we didn't have any language. Have you been to Tokyo before? You know how big Tokyo is, right? We live on the mountain, the side that close to the mountains. Well, our leaders, they live on the side close to the sea, to the bay, Tokyo Bay. So our distance was quite far. And a lot of times we just didn't have their support. I remember one time when we had to register for our bikes. Because in Japan, you got to register for your bikes. Otherwise, when police see that you don't have that sticker, they will stop you. So we didn't have language. We bought 4 bikes from Costco because that was the only place that we know where to get the bikes. We bought the bikes off Costco, and then when we were trying to register the bikes, we didn't know where to go. And I searched online, and then we thought this place would be able to do it for us. I remember one Saturday morning, we 4 of us, at the time, kids were only 11 and 8. 4 of us, we rode the bikes for 40 minutes under a hot sun, high humidity. After we got there, the store owner wouldn't do it for us because she said our bikes were not purchased from her store. Standing there, I was so mad. I was so mad at God. I was so mad at our leaders. God, why did you send us to Japan without any support, without any way of getting simple things done? God, where are you? I don't believe God sent us to Japan just to let us, you know, struggle there all by ourselves. Then my wife, who's more spiritual, is like a lot of your wives, start to pray with our boys. And then on the way back, 4 of us were hungry and exhausted. My wife Wendy saw this small shop, bike shop. It has enough kanji for her to understand that this bike shop might be able to help us. So she stopped us and then went into the store using simple English and a lot of body language. So eventually, this store owner understood what we wanted to do, and he helped. I just want to remind you, today you are here, it's not by accident. You are here because you have been called to be his very own people. And our God's not going to leave you here to struggle endlessly. When we don't see our future, don't doubt that our God is still at work. A lot of times when we don't see God, like a lot of times when we afraid, when we feel afraid, we start to grab on the things that we can see. And that's what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. They couldn't see the physical object for them to put their faith in. So they built the golden calf. Friends, I want to remind you, our God is still at work despite how little faith you have, how little faith I have. Because he remembers, he takes notice. He remembers the covenant that he has with you. He remembers the covenant he had with Abraham. So in Genesis 15, then the Lord said to Abraham, "Know this for certain, your offspring will be foreigners in a land that does not belong to them. They will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. However, I will judge the nation they serve, and afterward they will go out with many possessions." I remember when my family came to went to the States in 1986. We didn't have a lot of stuff. But when these Israelites, they came out of Egypt, they came with livestock, although they were slaves. They came with gold and silvers. God delivered his promise. Why? Because he's a faithful God. We have to constantly remind ourselves, our God will not abandon us. Only we abandon God. Only we lose faith. He will not leave us. He's the vine. We are the branches. The vine will not die. The branches might fall off the tree. He remembers his end of the deal. And he looks at us with kindness, with love, with compassion, with mercy. Like I mentioned to you before, in the wilderness, what these Israelites want to do? These Israelites want to kill their own leaders. They want to kill their own leaders. They want to go back to Egypt. They have forgotten what they experienced in Egypt. Why? Because they couldn't see a physical God. Although they saw see the cloud, right? They see the fire. Cloud during the day, fire at night, leading them, guiding them. See, they had their GPS long before we had our technologies. God was guiding them. God was helping them. In Numbers 14, all the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole community told them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Our wives and little children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt." So he ended up, the very people that complained about the wives and children got taken, died in the wilderness. But their wives were protected. Their children were protected by the Lord. They did not die in the children did not die in the wilderness. So knowing how he got treated by his people? How did God, how did our God respond? How did our God respond? How would you respond as a human being? I don't know. How would you respond as a parent if you were, if your very own kids want to rebel against you and say, I want to disown my mom. I want to disown my dad. How would you respond? I don't know. I probably would disown them before they disown me. But our God, thankfully, our God isn't like that. Thankfully, our God isn't like that. If you go back to chapter 1 and chapter 3 in Deuteronomy, these three phrases keep got repeated. In chapter 1 and chapter 3, you keep seeing entering and taking possession of the land, delivering into your hands, take possession, and do not fear. You all know what the scouts, the 12 scouts have reported back to the Israelites. The people there were tall, they were professionally trained, they were strong. These are just peasants. They didn't have training. They didn't have blacksmith to help them to make weapons. But they're not doing the fighting. God is doing the fighting for them. God has already promised. All you need to do is entering, taking all these verbs, and possess the land. That's all you need to do. Because they have been delivered to you, into your hands. Brothers and sisters, do we have this faith today? Do we have this faith about our God? A lot of times when we see problems, just like the example I gave you, we just want to complain, we just want to groan, we just want to blame on people, on God. Which is good, because you have seen what Job had done. It's okay. But after you let out all these emotions, you got to come back to the Lord. You got to come back to the source of your being. God only asked them to enter. God only asked them to take position. God did not ask them to fight. Why? Because they have been delivered into their hands already. They're not the ones doing the fighting. God's the one doing the fighting. You know, we left Canada in 2020. We came back 2024. And we feel that Canada has became a very different place, very different country. I don't know how you experiencing, how you feeling about Canada right now. But to us, it's all like totally different country. I was sharing with my wife yesterday. I went to grocery stores yesterday, didn't buy a lot of stuff, and they only fill up 40 liters of gas in my car. And $250 just disappear like that. I understand the hardship every one of us are going through. I understand what churches are going through. But a lot of times when we only focus on our own needs, own issues, we have forgotten who is in control. You're not in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. The question is, do you have the faith to move forward? Does this congregation have faith in God to move forward? I know you don't have pastor, but so what? Pastors come and go. I often tell people, tell church people that I share with, pastors do not last very long in churches. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But this is your home. You don't leave your home, right? This is where you belong. You just need to stay together and pray together and seek for God's guidance and direction. That's all you need to do as a congregation. Because our God is a faithful God. He will plan and guide you. He will plan your chart, your path for you. He will guide your steps. All you need to have is faith in God. Do you have that faith today? You know, when people know that we have turned down Alliance invitation to return back to Taiwan to work, they were puzzling. They were like, you know, Henry, do you know how hard it is to become Alliance missionaries? You know how hard it is to get appointed to be 40 fund missionaries in Alliance? I said, I know, but I don't care. You know why? Because no one can chart my path other than God. If I don't feel that's God's calling, that's God's plan to go back to Taiwan, then I'm going to say no to people. Because my comfort, my safety, my security is in God Himself, not in people, not in an organization. I don't know my future. But this sermon is also for myself too. All we need to do is grab on God's hand or even his leg tightly. And don't let us disappear from his presence. And do not fear. Do not fear. Don't let fear take the better part of you. You have experience with God. That's why you're sitting here today. Think about what happened, what God had done for you in the past. Moses here reminded them what they have done, what God had done for them in the wilderness. They worship Baal Peor. And the place where they're staying right now is very near that, in chapter 4, it's very near that place. And God gave them a stern warning. If you leave me right now, if you don't come back into my presence and worship me, and if you mingle with other idols, false gods, there will be consequences. Our God's faithful, but our God's also just. Our God doesn't want us to have any relationship with other idols. Our God just wants us to have a relationship with him. It's just like a couple, right? When they have committed their lives to each other, there shouldn't be nothing coming in between other than God. Why? Because the relationship needs to be kept pure. And this is not too much to ask. God doesn't want you to grab on the things that you can see. God wants you to just rely wholly on him. How do we do that? We got to guard our hearts. There are a lot of temptations out there. I don't know if you know in Japan, a lot of lonely wives out there. Sometimes people fail. They could not resist the temptations, especially in a culture like that. In a culture where they don't believe that the husband going out to find prostitutes is okay. Because as long as the husband pay money, that's only a service. That's not infidelity. We have experienced firsthand seeing in our missionary colleagues failed due to sexual temptations in Japan. And just not one, several of them. So I know you like Japan's culture, you like Japanese language and stuff. But it's very, screw up culture. So we need, as missionaries, we need to guard our hearts, because we know between us and them, the people have fallen. It's just one thin line. Anything can happen. And that's God what used Moses to remind his own people. Guard your hearts. Don't let you fall into temptations. Because our God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. A lot of people don't understand what's a jealous God. Why is our God a consuming fire, a jealous God? Because he's pure. He's holy. He does not allow anything that's unholy to be in his presence. Our God's faithful. Our God's capable. Our God's also jealous God. Jealous God is one of the prime attributes of God, and that defines his relationship with us. He only wants his relationship to be with his own people. The very people that has received his breath of life. The very people that have taken his image. So this brings to our response. Now knowing our God's faithful, our God's loving, our God is caring, he listens and remembers. And we need to guard our heart. How do we obey a God like that? How do we obey a God like that? What's stopping you from obeying God today? What does God want you to do in your lives? You know, it's just like yesterday. It almost seems like yesterday I was still like 30 years old. Guess how old am I this year? 40? Oh, you are so kind. I'm 52 this year. I'm going to 53 in October. I don't have a lot of time. I don't know, maybe 30 more years, if I'm lucky. And I don't know how many years you have ahead of you. But time does not wait. And I remember, I believe that God has a plan for you in your lives. Do you know that plan? Yes. Maybe you are waiting. Maybe you are still searching. But do not doubt. God has a plan for you. You just need to find out what God wants you to do. And once you know, obey the calling. Because it's a divine calling. It's not only a calling for a human being. It's a divine calling. But to obey that calling, you will be facing challenges. You will be facing hardship. But I want you to remember, God allowed this hardship, this challenge to happen. It's for our own benefit. Because he wants to build you up. He wanted you to be a better Christian. As Moses was leaving his people behind on the edge of the promised land, he gave these words to the people. Remember the decrees. Remember the words that God has given you. Be strong and be courageous. Do not fear. Because God is a loving God. God is a faithful God. My son, Timothy, when we were in Japan, he joined the Japanese baseball team. And I think that after watching World Baseball, you know how strong Japanese the baseball culture is in Japan. I remember when we were in Japan, the kids often had to get up on Saturday around 5:30. And then my wife, Wendy, will make them onigiri. You know what onigiri is, all right? And then they will take onigiri with them with water and then to meet with their teammates after 40 minutes of bike ride to the place to where the parents, the volunteer parents will pick them up and drive them to another town for practice and stuff. And then they usually come back, the boys usually come back around 8 o'clock in the evening. And then on Sundays, they have to do that again. And because my kids, although they were in Japanese schools, but they don't have enough Japanese to go to Japanese churches. So we do our worship, family worship ourselves in English. So Sunday, we don't have to worry about them going to church. So Sunday, they repeat the same schedule again. And then doesn't matter where there's snow outside or not, they do that all year round. And they were competing in Kanto Yakyu no Shiai, the Kanto region Japanese baseball competition. So he was quite strong. So when he came back to Canada in 2019, he said, "Dad, I want to continue to play baseball." I say, "You are too strong for a lot of teams here." And then eventually we found out there are provincial teams that were recruiting. So I drove him. I signed him up for tryouts, and I drove him to the tryouts. And I remember in the car, he asked me, "Dad, you know, I might be the only Asian there, right? I'm so scared. Like, these people, they are so much bigger and stronger. Their calf is maybe the size of my leg, and they're just so strong." Little bit like the Israelites before they're entering the promised land. So I said to Timothy, "You have been working very hard all these past 3 years in Japan, playing baseball every weekend. What are you afraid of? They are just like you. The only difference might be they have blonde hair, blue eyes, and a lot of hairs on their body. Other than that, they're just like you, a human being. What are you afraid of? Today, you just need to pray before you go into the tryout. And trust that if God wants you to make the team, you will make the team. Doesn't matter if they are 7 feet tall and they can bench press, I don't know, 200 kilo? What's a bench press stand there? I don't know. Don't worry about all that. You just gotta remember, if God's behind you, no one can be against you." He listened to me. And then he has two other teammates who were Caucasian that went to do the tryout with him. And he was the only person who made the provincial team. So on the way back, I told him, "You just need to believe in yourself and believe in God. That's all, the only thing that you can grab onto. As long as you work hard, and as long as you know this is God's plan, nobody can stop you. Friends, I don't know what kind of challenges you are going through right now. I don't know what kind of difficulties you are experiencing. But remember, you are sitting here today not by accident. You are sitting here because God has a purpose. And only you and God knows that purpose. I encourage you, really, remember what Moses told the Israelites. Our God's a faithful God. Our God's a loving God. Our God's a jealous God. Guard your hearts. Let's pray. Father, especially, we want to pray for this congregation. Father, looking at them, I have a lot of compassion, a lot of love. This is a church that has been faithfully supporting us for the past few years. But Father, you know what they have gone through. It's the body of Christ. Father, I pray that your love will continue to be upon them. Your hands will be holding them, holding their hands, taking on a journey that they will appreciate when they look back. Father, I pray that you will give the leaders unity. You will give the leaders vision to take your flock forward. Father, because they are loved by you, and you love them dearly. Father, as I reflect back to the scene in 2022 at the airport, seeing my son coming back all by himself to Canada, Father, I know your heart, your love is stronger than what I had. But I just pray that you will let your people feel your own love. Revive them. Get them back on their own feet. Help them to see they have a loving God in you. Thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.